A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nightside. This is The Nightside Project.
I can't believe I ate that whole thing.
Nightside on KSL.
Never go to bed.
Alex, I love picking on China. It's just so fun.
Yeah. Well, I think it's because you actually have a little secret crush on him.
The Nightside Project. Finish the day happy with Ethan Millard and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, this is the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millard here with Alex Keery. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Everybody. Hey, Alex.
What's up?
I got something to point out to you.
What?
Because
like
I think
my fly's open.
No.
I'm working
just,
all day.
I just think that you're the kind of person that could get into movie memorabilia.
Yeah. There's some stuff where I'm like, well, because you know what my collection is, right?
No.
I have 2 ears of corn from the Field of Dreams field.
You do?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah. When Dave Noriega and I went and we did our RV trip to Michigan State 1 year, we went through, I think it's Dairysville, Iowa. Or Dairyville, Iowa, but not dairy like the cow, like D-E-R-R-Y. I think.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay.
We go through. We went to the Field of Dreams. And I went out in that field, and I freaking stole 2 things of corn.
And you
boom.
Let them dry?
Well, they're already dry. And when that was the thing I was wondering. I was like, every piece of corn in every field in Iowa is just sitting dead and dried out on a stock. And I'm like, we wasted this.
I thought we eat corn.
See, that's a thing. See, hold on. Today you're going to learn something. Okay?
What is it?
And that is that you think about corn out in the field and you're like, well, better pick that so I can boil it up and have it with my
corn on the cob.
With my corn on the cob. And the reality is, what do we really use corn for in this country?
I'm still going to say eating.
Yeah, not us. The cattle. So we turn it into feed almost exclusively.
Oh, and so they dry it out.
It's like 96% of the corn. Like 96% of corn that's grown. Yeah, so you think about a piece of corn being on the stock. They are like, and it's not dead. They're just like, it's drying out. We need to get it to a moisture point that is the most valuable, and that is drier. Yeah. But you and I going, wait a minute, where's the Harvard Farms corn that you eat twice a year? It's nothing to do with that. So,
all right. Well, let me tempt you with some.
So I have a bunch of dried corn.
So there,
sorry, off
there,
on a tangent.
There, well, I just wanted to point out though.
How much will you pay me for? I have one extra. I brought it back for somebody.
You're asking me.
How much
I
you want for that piece of movie memorabilia?
An ear of corn that I can't even eat. Is that what you're asking?
Oh, you could eat it.
Can I pop it?
Probably. Anyway.
Stick it in the microwave and just see.
$1,000. Anyway, what can I buy other stuff for, though?
All right. So.
I want to try to think what would be most interesting.
There are 900 items going under the hammer, a massive auction of movie props, for sale, London's BFI IMAX. Tell me if you'd be interested in any of these.
Okay.
These are just. These are some that CNN pulled out to write.
Do they have
story.
Values? Do they have values there?
Some of
Can
them.
Can I
do,
guess
yeah.
them? Okay, go. Do the ones that have values.
This one
I'm
doesn't.
Try to guess
I tried to find this one. This one doesn't have a value.
Okay. What is it?
It's the axe from The Shining.
Now here's the thing. Now in movie props, it is. There's stuff that's for film. There's stuff that's for rehearsal. There are prop ones. There are real use ones. Right.
So
this is used in the. This was used on the thing.
That's right. So, I feel like this has got to be one of the most expensive things out there. But I guarantee it might not fetch very much. But
no,
when you think about it, Jack Nicholson, one of the all-time great modern actors.
Yeah.
Okay. Directed by Stanley Kubrick, one of the great directors.
Yeah, old Stan.
Written by. You know who wrote the Shining. You know who wrote it?
Oh yeah, J.R. Tolkien. No, it's a Tom King.
Stephen King. Yeah, yeah, that's right. It's Stephen King.
Stephen King.
Yeah. So the axe, but I couldn't find a value on it. Anyway, I got a value on this one though. How about a Tantive IV Stormtrooper helmet from Star Wars: A New Hope?
Oh, that would actually be awesome. Now, but which one? Is it on screen? Did the, that's yep. the thing. Is it on screen? Mm-hmm. Can you show me on screen where it was?
Yeah. No, okay. It's a real one. They're estimating sale price between $145,000 and $218,000.
Wow.
How about this?
That is a ton.
How about this? Samuel L. Jackson's lightsaber from Revenge of the Sith.
Okay. Wait. Samuel Jackson's?
Mm-hmm.
So on screen. Used on screen.
Used on screen.
Is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he used it, I don't know, back in his trailer to like cut up some fruit or something. Am I guessing how much mm-hmm. it is?
Yeah.
$43,000.
I'm just going to start telling you the values. There's no way you can guess it.
$43,000.
No, they think up to about $120,000.
Well, that's what they'll say. That means it's going to go for $43,000.
Up to three times as much as your guess. How about this one? I like this one. What about Mel Gibson's sword that he used in Braveheart?
The actual sword.
The actual sword.
Big broadsword. Mm-hmm. Up to $300,000.
No, actually significantly less.
Why? Because it's not Star Wars?
About $60,000, $70,000.
Yeah, because it's not Star Wars.
How about this? Pierce Brosnan's Walter PPK with the silencer from Goldeneye. Now, you've got a touch spot in your heart for Goldeneye.
For Goldeneye. And the PP7, is that what it is?
The PPK.
PPK.
And his look who this guy is.
Wow.
Remember that time that we're sitting in here and J-Mac, the long-dead J-Mac, comes walking up to the—
Why is he shaved, too?
Because he's running for Congress.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's running for Congress, and he's got all shaved.
Hold on. Bring him in here. Bring him in here. Get in here. Come on.
J-Mac.
Hey, what's up? This is the podcast right now.
We're recording the night side.
Here, get in here. Get in here. Hold on. I want you to ask a few questions. Now that you're on the campaign trail, the crap is going on with your face right now.
I saw this on Instagram,
Why are you trying to be so different?
Like, wow.
No, it was a mistake. Seriously.
What happened?
So I get out the trimmer, and I put the wrong attachment on it.
Oh.
And I went,
I do it.
Right down the side of my face.
I've done it, yeah.
And so now I'm like, I'm committed. I can't have this huge bald spot on the side of my face.
Well, you know what? Beards will grow back.
I know.
And you're still super early in the election cycle.
Yeah. So. Well, a lot of people say I can't get elected with a beard. So.
Well, I think it's doubtful you could get elected without a beard. Oh. So.
I thought you were going to say doubtful that I could get elected. So.
With or without a beard? I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Well, are you having a good time?
Yeah, absolutely. We are going to be firing up the J-Mac podcast.
Nice.
So that's why I'm in the building.
I saw you walk up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Jay. And then I'm like, Jay?
Yeah, yeah. What's it felt doing? Familiar for a minute or two.
What has been the thing? Because we only have 2 minutes with you now.
Okay.
Well, I don't care how long we have with you, but I'm a busy man. So
I understand. You're employed.
He's going to kick
out of here. No. Yeah. What's been the most surprising thing on the campaign trail so far?
You know, you think you're going to get in a campaign and you're going to go out and just, you know, clasp hands and change hearts and minds. And the reality is the first 6 months of a campaign, you're asking people for money.
And, you got to do that.
You know, you've got to raise money to be able to share your message and reach enough people. So that's what we're doing. And we'll be doing that probably until December. We'll be asking for money.
Well, with that said, Alex, how do you feel about maxing out to the...
In fact, Alex, that's why we're here, really.
Actually, that's why Ethan and I are both here. We wanted to talk to you. I see how you guys work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We planned this from the beginning.
It looks like you guys are trying to sell me some knives. Yeah. Interesting. You're here.
We're asking you to become a triple diamond in the JMAC campaign.
Hold on. So... Have you sat down? I know you did a tour of Washington and kind of met with some of the brass and everything.
Yeah.
Was that eye-opening or was it depressing? Because I feel like you'd meet with people and go, oh, my gosh, these people are not that smart and it doesn't matter because I'm going to be – they got elected anyway. Because I feel like it's never the actual, like, best candidate. It's just the one who raised enough money. It sounds cynical, but that's what it sounds
like.
No,
it's really a great question because you don't know. You're a sports guy. For me, it's a sports analogy. You wonder how you could compete next to somebody who plays college ball or somebody who plays.
Right.
So you go back to Washington, D.C., and you think you know politics. You think you can represent yourself.
Jam with any of these people.
Right. But you don't know until you sit down with them. So you're sitting down with the NRCC. You're sitting down with all of these different groups. And I came away feeling like, you know what? I can play at this level.
Right. Well, it's good.
And so that was a real question for me.
Because you got to have the confidence. You got to be able to approach it with confidence.
Yeah, hold on. Because the other thing that happens is that, like, okay, so Mia Love was asked about your campaign.
Yes.
So one of the first stories that came out after you declared that you're running for Congress, Mia Love comes out. And I thought it was the audacity was hilarious to me because it was, I think it's nice. We don't know anything about him. He's a totally unknown. I think it'd be nice if we had somebody who had a little bit of experience. And I thought this is amazing. This guy has interviewed every politician ever and knows inside and out how this game works.
Except, by the way, Mia Love, who wouldn't come on my show.
Oh, wow, that's interesting. Wow.
I'm just saying, you know, what she said was you don't just jump into this. And you guys know me. I've been fighting for what I believe for 20 years. Yeah. There's no jump in.
No, there's not. You know what we should do, Alex? We should book Mia Love on the Nice Side Project.
She'll come on our show. And then do one of these where Jay goes, oh, I was just working on the J-Mac podcast.
Do you know what's funny, though? She did appear on my show after I left it. And so did Ben.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on, guys.
But you know, that's politics.
Yeah.
That's politics.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
All right. Well.
Well, I'll let you guys get back to that.
I'm so glad
the Night Side is back.
So if we have a J-Mac podcast still, are you going to be able to actually, like, because I don't even know, are we breaking rules with you coming on?
No.
Podcasts are different.
Podcasts are different.
Yeah.
When you talk about broadcast airwaves,
when I say breaking, gets breaking news, J-Mac is at it again with an amazing story. Join us at 9. Like, No, that's bad. Yeah, we don't want to do that. Well, we're always big fans of you. So,
well, thanks. Yeah. And consider that donation, Alex Carey.
I will. I have a couple extra gift cards laying around. Probably still good.
You can get a J-Mac.
I have a thing. I think that you could still probably. It might be good this year too for one of those Festival of Trees, like really nice trees.
Oh, I've got one of those.
You could put up in your campaign office.
That'd be wonderful.
Yeah.
Right. No, just for you guys.
Wonderful donation.
All right, Jay. I'm going to play some music here because that's no better way to go into the Zen headlines than us doing than having J-Mac in.
See you, Jay.
That's actually hilarious because we did not plan this.
He walked right up to the window, and it seems so normal because how many times
we're
have you
used
been
to
in
it.
The studio?
Yeah, we're used to it. But his face was weird, so that's why I was weird.
Well, yeah, his beard is gone, and then all of a sudden I was like, what are you doing here? You don't work here.
Get out of here. All right, we're going to come back with a Zen headline. That's going to be when we return to the program. What a fun thing for Jay to stop by. Increase the value of the show while you were talking about your stupid movie props. We'll come back. We'll do some more Zen headlines. Stay with us.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I got the Zen headlines here. You ready for Zen headline?
Now, tell people what a Zen headline is in case they're listening.
Zen headlines are designed to amaze you, impress you, inspire you, hilariate you. just help you kind of finish.
He was hilariated.
And this one's kind of a non-traditional. But woolly mammoths are on the verge of going on to an endangered species.
Hold up, what?
Let me explain. Now, woolly mammoths.
I'm going to say right now something that should have been said beforehand. No woolly mammoths have walked the earth in what, 25,000 years? Is that what it is?
You're right. They are completely extinct. Completely and totally extinct.
So go ahead. No, I mean, look, it's like if I die, go ahead and put me on the do not resuscitate list. Like, I get it.
So here's the deal, though. There's a treaty. It's called the CITES Treaty. And the CITES Treaty prevents species from being driven to extinction because of trade in their product. So it would control.
Is that what it was?
No.
China. China was stealing those tusks before we even knew about it.
But this is what it's designed to do. So it's designed to regulate, the animal, like sensitive animal parts, animals that are being driven to extinction because of trade in their parts. Elephants are a classic example.
Okay, right? Yeah.
But here's the problem. Now countries, interested countries, are coming to the world body and they're saying, hey, I know that we don't normally do this. In fact, I know that we've never done this. But why don't we add woolly mammoths? Because here's what's happening. Because we unearth these woolly mammoths. And we started to unearth more and more and more. Thanks to global warming, it's
right.
You know, melting the permafrost, and we're coming up with all these woolly mammoths.
Sure.
It's difficult. It can be very difficult to distinguish between elephant ivory and woolly mammoth ivory. Did you know that?
Well, I never even knew there was a different. There was a distinction.
Right. So yeah. if you have a little carving from one or the other, you might not be able to tell the difference.
Right.
Woolly mammoth ivory is right now unregulated, and so they're saying we're concerned that there are places in this world, and there are people in this world who are smuggling elephant ivory as woolly mammoth ivory, and we want to put a stop to it. So they're proposing adding woolly mammoths to an endangered species list.
How on earth is it? It's just funny to me. Like, you just never, I guess you can sell anything to anybody, right? And go, ooh.
Yep.
We found this. I never even thought to myself, well, because there are tusks. Here's how you can really tell. Woolly mammoth tusks would be as long as like half of the building.
Yeah.
They're large.
If you had whole tusks, you could tell. But, you know, when you carve them up into like a little chest set.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Something like that. Or, you know, if you make a piano out of one.
Yeah. Not just a baseball bat?
An ivory baseball bat, could you imagine? What would mammoth tusk do? It'd shatter, wouldn't it? It'd shatter.
I would imagine it would act very much like ivory, which is actually pretty...
No, that's what I'm saying. What would ivory do as a baseball bat?
Oh, no. It would crash pretty easily. Yeah.
Anyway, so the idea is that when they're finished, it would be illegal, any ivory from any source, doesn't matter.
No woolly ivory anywhere.
Parts. No woolly mammoth.
What do you call woolly mammoth ivory? It's not ivory tusks. It's not ivory.
Yeah, it is. It's literally ivory.
Okay. Is that an element? What's ivory
right
made of?
Right next to gold.
It's made of ivory. All right. Well, that's good to know.
Wrap it up?
I just love the idea of making something endangered or...
When it's already extinct.
When it's been extinct for a while. Now, I get it.
It sounds like a classic bureaucratic move.
Well, when it comes down to it, we do the same thing with, I don't know, I like fossils and stuff. If we were to be like, oh yeah, this fossil's it's a Tyrannosaurus
well,
Rex
yeah,
tooth.
Yeah, but you
and
know,
maybe it's just like a whale tooth or something. You
but
know,
you know,
a lot
of that's regulated though, to even state to state.
Yeah, you can't.
So Utah has different fossil rules than Colorado does.
Yeah.
In Wyoming.
How many fossils do you think you've stolen from the state lands here in Utah?
This year?
I have a guy. How much petrified? I've got a question for you. This is an actual question. How much petrified wood can I have?
Oh, this is a great question. So if you're collecting on public lands,
right.
Petrified wood is just like any other rock. So if you are in a protected area where you're not allowed to collect, then you're not
can't
allowed
do
to
it.
Collect.
Yeah, yeah.
So it will include state park, national park, things like that.
But it's like some weird measurement. Like it's like... three children's worth of
no, it's
fake firewood. No, it's not wood. See, I would treat it like wood.
I think three cords. Enough
what
for
is
a
it?
Small campfire that will.
Isn't
never
what
light.
It is? It's like a it's like a truckload kind of thing.
Yeah,
right?
I my
like
understanding
a small bed
is,
of a truck.
Now, this do not take this as legal advice. My understanding is
no one has ever thought you had any legal advice.
I just don't want the responsibility.
I get it. Sure.
My understanding is that it's just like collecting any other mineral. And you can collect, like, you can fill, like, the bottom of a pickup truck bed.
Oh, sure.
Once a day. It's like the bottom of a pickup truck bed plus three pieces or something like that. It's like
that
a weird thing.
That seems very weird.
But you can actually collect.
Because I have a bunch in my house that the previous owners had, they had just had around. And I remember a neighbor of mine was, like, so upset about it. Why would they take petrified wood off of our state lands?
And it's I just said, like, it's just I like rock collecting.
And he was, like, mad at me for, like, inheriting it when I bought the house, and I go, what should I do with it? He goes,
well, I don't know, it's not like
we'll ever know where they got it from. And I was thinking to myself, maybe that's a rule, though. You know, maybe
no,
it's like, because
no.
with fossils, you got to call your scout master and stuff,
well, fossil,
or whatever
the,
it is.
So the rule on fossils is this, in the state of Utah, no vertebrate fossils. So you can do trilobites.
Okay, yeah.
If it's got a vertebrae, it's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
No collecting it ever.
Can't look at it.
You
don't look at it.
You can't touch it.
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark, you start melting. Face
you have
will
to
melt.
You have to run away. Yep. You have to
Don't
run
look,
away.
Ethan.
And
Ethan, shut
so
your eyes.
It is not the same as fossils. And it's not the same as dinosaur bones. All that's much more protected. But, you know, a lot of people have that perspective about petrified wood. And part of it's because there's Petrified Wood National Forest, you know, things like that. And you're not allowed to
You can't cut those trees
there.
Down.
You're not allowed to collect there. And, right. and it's like there are superstitions around it.
Yeah.
But honestly, if that neighbor ever brings it up, just say, you know, I talked to the previous owner. He said he collected it on private land, on a private ranch that his uncle owned. Just say that.
Okay.
All right.
Tell him to get lost. And if you're self-conscious, though, give it to me because I've got no shame.
I'm just thinking about put like when do I put one of these pieces of petrified wood through his window and then go, whoops.
I guess must they are cursed.
Must have been a vandal.
You have to polish it up.
Yeah. I should just give you some because I have chunks around the yard that I'm like, ugh, I didn't even see this.
They're just around.
I had a massive piece of obsidian in my old house at Woodland Hills.
Remember that? Really?
Massive. Massive. I'm thinking about going back and getting it.
You should go back. You still have the house?
No. All right. Going to take the break here. Kay. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for hanging out. Another edition of the Nightside Project will come back at some point. We'll see you then.